I hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight beside me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and calling down to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fight beside me. I read about some squirrely guy who claims he just don't believe in fight. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight inside of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in a far dark deep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fight inside of me. Yeah, walking on the fight inside me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in a far dark keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the fight inside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fight inside of me, and that's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com, with lots more news and views for our people. And of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. What do we have here? A woman who excited quite a lot of controversy, actually has over the past year, being very heavily persecuted in her hometown of Jasper, Alberta, is Monica Schaefer. Now, Monica produced a video in June of last year in English. There's both an English and a German version. And it was entitled, "Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust." Now, this is opened with a little bit of her playing her violin and closed with exactly the same thing. Monica created a great storm. What she said video essentially was that growing up she's a German Canadian, but she had imbibed the usual German hatred that was taught in the public schools. And she was going through school just about the time the latest round of Holocaust got invented. And she had been subject to the usual taunts that kids are likely to throw at each other. Eth, called here, you know, Heil Hitler, say Heil Hitler, and things like that. I mean, kids will be kids. And like people who didn't know any better, she had berated her mother, or asked her, rather, you know, in the rather confrontational way teenage girls do, you know, well, why didn't you do something, Mom? Well, you know, not realizing that her mother had been a teenager back then, and how was she going to stop, you know, the government's policies? You know, it's very, you know, very naive. This is her mother and father being dead for some years. But what she wanted to do in this was to apologize, because she now realizes that the new religion of Holocaust is a false religion. That there weren't 6 million Jews killed. There wasn't an exterminationist policy on the part of the National Socialist government. And that many of the claims are, quite frankly, exaggerated and virtually out to lunch. Now, and worse still, and I always make this point, and I think it's important. I don't have any problem any group having their own group history or tribal history. Tribal history, by nature, is exaggerated. It puts us, it puts the tribe at the very center of things. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. What the problem is, though, is that it has become, we're forced to accept it as our history. And that's the danger. Well, not only the danger, it's the great fraud. We must accept the so-called Holocaust, which is another tribe's self-serving account, and internalize it. Now, many groups have had unfortunate histories. For instance, in my own part of the country, in and around the Georgian Bay and the Great Lakes, there once were the Huron tribe. Well, they were massacred and virtually exterminated by the Iroquois. Well, in recent historical times, back in the middle of the 17th century. Now, I'm sure the few remaining Huron have a tribal history, and that they mourn their loss and they mourn their fate, and understandably and rightly so. The difference is we don't have to adopt it as our history. We don't have memorials in big cities across Canada, Huron Extermination Week, Huron Extermination Month. We don't have a National Huron Extermination Day. It's their tribal history, and fair enough. I have no problem with that. Unlike this is totally unlike the so-called Holocaust, which we have been, or at least much of our elite has adopted as their religion, while they themselves are many, many cases unreligious, or would be only too proud to tell you how well they don't pay any attention to. They think most of the claims of Christianity are exaggerated or false, and they don't believe in that stuff, or don't believe in it very much. And they're quite sophisticated and all of that. But in point of fact, they will adopt the most preposterous claims of the new religion of Holocaust. And like religious fanatics, they insist on imposing it on others. There, in many European countries, it's against the law to officially question the so-called Holocaust. It has taken on all the markings of a religion, which one must believe, or if you don't believe, it's probably wise to keep your disbelief very much to yourself. Monica Schaefer has had a hard year of it. She was demonized in her hometown. She was shunned. She lost all of her violin students. She was even denied a busking permit. And busking, of course, refers to playing a musical instrument in public, usually in a park or on a sidewalk, and putting out a box or a violin case, as the situation might be, and collecting money from passers-by. Well, she was denied that. In fact, she had fought for the busking law, for the city to issue busking permits, but she was denied that on the bizarre basis that her views were not inclusive. Now, nobody ever suggested that she played violin music that ran down some group or whatever, but the extraordinary claim was made that her views, as expressed in her videos, were not inclusive. And for that reason, she was denied a busking permit. The careful reader will observe that almost any view is non-inclusive. And once you affirm one thing, you have excluded another. You know, if you say, well, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, well, it means you're not a Buddhist, and you're not a Muslim. If you say I'm a conservative, that means you're not a socialist or a liberal or a social creditor. You know, to say that her views are non-inclusive is to essentially say nothing. Worse than that, it's to talk twaddle. It's stupid. It's just plain stupid. Anyway, my monk has recently put out an update for her many friends and supporters around the world, telling us, you know, how things are going. And it's called The Jasper Busking Story. And if you'd like me to send you a copy, just please email me at paul@paulfromm.com. And I will send it to you. And there's a picture here of Monica. It's an award to Monica Schaefer, Raven About the Arts, an award for music in 2013. This is 3 years before her famous or infamous video. And it's a picture of an engraving of ravens, and a little play upon the words, of course, Raven About the Holocaust. Got it all wrong. Raven About the About the Arts. Hello. Okay. Anyway, it shows just how well she was thought of in the town of Jasper. Okay, and this is her account, and it says here. The following story is an abridged open letter which I sent to the mayor and council of Jasper on July the 8th, 2017. Their email addresses are attached, if you care to write to them. There's much irony in this story, especially in the light of the award, the fact that the award, this was given to Monica, was given to me by the very organization that denied me the busking permit. So that back in 2013, the town arts council gave her the Raven, it's a play on words, About the Arts award for Monica Schaefer, her award for music. So, you know, obviously well regarded, so there's never any question about her talent. This story begins about 5 years ago. I made a presentation to the town council that busking should be allowed in Jasper. It was not legal to busk at that time. I made the case that this little mountain town within a national park and World Heritage Site was a perfect place for busking, and that it would be a win-win situation. It would be good for the musicians, good for the tourists, and good for the town aesthetic. My presentation was well received, and the councillors, I'm having a little bit of trouble here with the screen here, and the councillors enthusiastically assured me that they would work on making it happen. It took some time, but finally in 2016, the busking program was launched. To be specific, it was the busking pilot project number 2. Pilot project number 1 occurred during the Arts Days weekend late September 2015, and I took part in that. My band, the Fiddle River Band, played on the Saturday afternoon, and it was a great success. People were dancing on the sidewalk. The 2016 pilot project was the first time that busking licenses would be sold, and musicians could busk all summer, with a few guidelines stipulating where and when and how long. Imagine my surprise then when I went to buy my license and was sent the following curt email. In light of your recently publicly proclaimed non-inclusive beliefs, we have decided to decline a permit to you at this time. So her beliefs, I mean, very, very clear, she is a victim of discrimination on the basis of her beliefs, not on the basis of action. She never, as a musician, went and beat up people who were walking by, or no form of misbehavior, just the wrong beliefs. There it was, clearly stated. That was because of my thoughts that I was not going to be allowed to play my violin on the streets of Jasper. That was last year. What came next? A season of surveys, meetings, emails, new process, newspaper articles, auditions, vetting buskers, guidelines, and rules. This is the winter 2016 to 2017. Monica reports, in response to numerous queries last summer by both myself and Professor Tony Hall from the University of Lethbridge, the town manager responded that there would be a survey in the fall to determine the success and what problems, if any, arose from the busking project. And then they would be in a position to answer our questions. Autumn came and went, and there was not much action. There was a general satisfaction survey, which included two questions on busking, and another survey for the business community, more specifically related to busking. On February 14th of 2000 this year, busking was on the agenda of the Committee of the Whole Council meeting. I requested a spot on the agenda. Marianne Garab and Dave Baker of the Habitat for the Arts were also in attendance and made a presentation before mine. I took note of Ms. Marianne Garab's comment that the vetting process for buskers should be based on talent and musical ability. This was noted in the minutes. To my understanding, that statement by Garaw was a tacit admission that they had erred the previous summer when they denied me a busking license based on my thoughts. This gave me confidence that this summer would be different. At the same time, Councillor Gilbert Wall declared openly that I should not be allowed on the streets to busk and that he could not separate my violin playing from my ideas. It was written about in both newspapers as being the elephant in the room, and given what we know, how ominous Councillor Wall made it clear that there must be an out for them to be able to shut me up. So, no matter what her musical talent would be, she should not be allowed to busk on the streets of Jasper because her views did not accord with Councillor Wall. You know, this is communist totalitarianism. April 11th Committee of the Whole meeting of the Town Council for Jasper. The minutes there state that the management of the busking pilot project for 2017 would once again be handed over to the Habitat for the Arts. Now, see, this is a private group, and what the city council or the town council is doing, I think very foolishly, is handing over the enforcement, I should say the administration, of a city function to a private group. Permits are granted by the town of Jasper, and I presumably people busking without a permit might be cited and fined, and that would be done not by a private group but by the town of Jasper. But what they have done is handed over to what has already turned out to be a biased group of people who once honored Monica but now have a deep animosity to her because of her views, handed over control of the busking permits. They also, that's the town council, stated that the selection committee should be comprised of people who are qualified to assess musical abilities. Makes sense. During subsequent meetings, a clear outline of process was made for the busker vetting and selection process. There would be a panel of five judges. A point system would be used. Habitat for the Arts would choose a song from the auditionees' set list. If the performer seems shaky on one song, you may ask them to perform another song. The performance would be recorded and sent to other judges who presumably could not all come together at the same time because of busy schedules. The process implies open visibility of the panel. Several of the guidelines make it clear that this was to be a live audition process. For example, one guideline states, judges are encouraged to interact with performers, but not for too long, just enough to make them feel comfortable. Another states, if a performer doesn't show up, move on to the next performer on the list. So it's quite clear this is a live audition. And it would appear they're also trying to bend over backwards to give would-be buskers a chance to show their stuff. After the May 2nd meeting, I immediately struck up a correspondence with the Habitat people to indicate my interest in auditioning for the purpose of acquiring a busking license. I went in person and I emailed. Monica was doing all the right things. She's a typical German, very rule abiding, law abiding, wasn't asking for any special privileges, tried to jump through the hoops as she understood them. When will the auditions take place? Where should I show up? How will I find out when they take place? Will there be an announcement in the paper? Will they email me, phone me? Responses to my attempts at communication were either absent or slow. Finally, I was told that I could simply send them a clip electronically. Pardon me? What happened to the select the song, and if they are shaky, pick another one, and please interact, but not too much scenario? What was going to be a live audition in front of a panel of judges turned into an anonymous send in your tape? I asked Marion Garon in person. This process is open and transparent, correct? The judge's identity should be public, yes? She agreed. I asked who the judges are. She started to name them, and after naming two, she hesitated, considered, and said, I can't remember who the other two, the others are. It's not really my thing. It's not my project. Really? Asked Monica. End of May. Still no buskers on the streets of Jasper. June, I left town for about 2 weeks, and when I returned, there were indeed buskers on the street, but only just. I tried to visit the Habitat for the Arts several times, to no avail, as nobody was there. I emailed and asked when I could please pick up my permit, assuming, of course, that there would be no problem passing the audition process, having sent them the link to my music samples. They had all assured me that they knew I could play, and they did say it was based on talent and musical ability. Imagine, once again, my surprise when I received the following unsigned email, dated the 20th of June. Hello, Monica. For 2017, the Jasper Busking Program has been designed such that a no-meet e-committee of community-minded individuals are given sound YouTube audition files provided by the artist. Those files are listened to with the intent of realizing three things. The skill of the artist, 5 potential criteria points. Potential enjoyment by the listener, 5 potential criteria points. And to gain a perception of the artist's stage presence, 5 potential criteria points. To gain a perception, which of course is not the word that the anonymous writer was struggling for. These criteria points are calculated over the 5 community members, and to be warranted a license, the total must equal at least 55 or 11 of the 15 from each response. Unfortunately, the results that came back to Habitat from the committee did not reflect that total for you. Your application for 2017 has been declined. Signed anonymously, Habitat for the Arts, the Jasper Municipal Project, blah blah. Who are the faceless, nameless, community-minded individuals? They make the rules and the guidelines, then broke them all. Live audition process turned into electronic transmission to who knows who. And whoever they are, they reach their objective to keep Monica out. No accountability, no transparency, no legitimate reason was given. They got their way and evaded responsibility. Anonymous judges, faceless, nameless individuals, awarding insufficient but 0 points to one of the best known musicians in this little town. It's all rather Kafkaesque, isn't it? What did all this amount to? New process after endless deliberations and meetings. It was all a big facade and nothing more. They did not quite know what to do with Monica Schaefer. They knew they could not openly deny me a license based on a lack of musical abilities. They stated that many times. That it was not my music that bothered them. Rather, it was my thoughts. My musical background and involvement in this community is extensive and well known. In fact, some would say I'd acquired local celebrity status as a violinist and fiddler who was in much demand at community functions and fundraisers, both as a performer and occasionally also as a judge at such competitions. And this is all, of course, by Monica Schaefer. and she goes on to say, they must have struggled with this problem because in spite of declaring at the second council meeting that they would like to see buskers on the streets of Jasper by the main long weekend, they did not appear, the buskers did not appear until sometime during the second week of June. I happened to be one of them. I happened to be out of town then. How convenient. Diversity Project. Jasper advertised its diversity project while advancing ideological exclusiveness. The Fitzhugh, that's one of the two newspapers in town, reported on the March 16th issue that I was the subject of debate in deliberations about a proclamation designed Jasper as an inclusive community. The mayor warned that the proclamation could have unforeseen consequences. Well, if you're inclusive, how can you exclude Monica? It seems to me that inevitably we will run into the elephant in the room that Councillor Gilbert Wall spoke about a week ago. That is, when you proclaim to be inclusive without limitation, that you are forced to confront those with whom you might have the most profound disagreements, said Mayor Richard Ireland. Well, of course, that is the nonsense of inclusiveness. Or I shouldn't say the nonsense, but that is the consequence. If you say you're inclusive, you can hardly exclude somebody, or at least somebody who is nonviolent and peaceful. I mean, you can't have it both ways. Or we're inclusive, yeah, but you can't come. All the while, there is the absolute assumption that I'm guilty of a crime, a thought crime, regardless of whether I'm right or wrong. Should that even be relevant for the acquisition of a busking license? Did we once pride ourselves on having free speech in Canada? Various agencies in the town of Jasper have designated themselves judge, jury, and enforcers against the alleged thought crimes of Monica Schaefer. All the while, there is never so much as a glimmer of introspection, not the slightest interest in making inquiries into the issues that I've raised. In fact, the opposite is true. The ferocious attacks against me are designed to frighten anyone else from looking. There is simply a blanket acceptance of the prevailing dogma, and anyone who dares question it is guilty of racial incitement. The very act of questioning is criminalized. The nasty little label hate speech is applied, and that's that. Evidence is not required when something is self-evident. The doctrine of judicial notice allows courts to recognize as fact matters that are common knowledge. The victors write the history books, so when they say it is so, then it is so. They determine what becomes common knowledge. Inclusive community is a fraudulent concept in Jasper. Diversity in Jasper does not include thoughts. Dear Mayor and Councillors, is this what you call due process? Is this not an exact fulfillment of some of my concerns expressed earlier in the winter? I thought we'd reached an understanding music should have nothing to do with a person's views. Are you going to stand by and support the Habitat, that's this town committee that seems to have been given this power, are you going to stand by and support the Habitat in their fraudulent project? Is this your legacy, turning the righteous town of Jasper, all-inclusive Jasper, into a narrow thought policing agency. The Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms and the UN Declaration of Human Rights are not being respected here in this little town, in the midst of a national park and a World Heritage Site. The Jasper Diversity Project is a sham. The Jasper Busking Program is a farce. The Proclamation of Inclusive Community is a joke. And most especially, the Habitat for the Arts Values and Principles Statement, all about learning never stops, embrace new challenges and ideas, grow through knowledge, exchange and support, earns all three descriptors, sham, farce, and a joke. Sincerely, Monica Schaefer. And that was sent to the town councillors and so on. An extremely well-written and powerful argument by Monica, and I must say, a searing disgrace to the town. The town's leadership would appear to be filled with small-minded, frightened people. And you know, one of the hardest things to get is freedom of speech. I don't mean to obtain it. I mean to get or understand the concept. It's not that complicated. It's simply this. You should be free to say what you want, to express your opinion. That does not mean that anybody else around you agrees with it. Because Monica Schaefer, Monica Schaefer be allowed to busk on the streets of Jasper, it does not mean the town council approves her views. All she's doing is busking. But there is an all-encompassing destructiveness that seems to pop up with cultural Marxism. It's not just enough to say, I disagree with it. That's fine. That's mature human conduct. I don't agree with what you say. That's fair enough. But to say, I don't agree with what you're saying, and you must be destroyed. Okay, it's not quite like in the days of the Inquisition, where you know, you might be tortured on the rack and burned at the stake. No, we do it a little bit more, a bit more genteelly. We just make you a non-person and shun you, and if possible, try to ruin you financially. Yeah, we're a bit more civilized. This fight's going to continue, and the cafe is going to be involved in trying to help Monica Schaefer. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on White Resistance Radio .com. I'm going to play a tune by a woman I like her. I've actually met her in Nashville, Tennessee. She was the singer for one of the big groups of the 1990s, late 1980s and early 1990s, and this was Highway 101. This is a very lovely young blonde lady from Minnesota, Paulette Carlson, Somewhere Tonight. Yes, so it worked out extremely well. I thought. I mean, this wasn't planned. I thought this would be just a chance.
I'm gonna put my faith in one man now.
Sadly,
oh, so many others.
The American dream. Dead.
It's not so easy, but it's all or nothing. The odds are stacked, but I've got to stand for something. People talking like he's no good. Like I ain't got my own mind to decide how I should.
It's a song that Paulette Carlson recorded just last year, and that was I'm Playing Trump, of course, her support for candidate, now President, Donald Trump. And We're going to conclude this musical interlude with another song that I hope you'll like, and this is with Rhonda Vincent and Daryl Singletary, American Grandstand. Oh, I'm sorry, no, this is not the song I wanted. This would end up being the rest of our show. So, this is Paulette Carlson, Just Say Yes. That's Paulette Carlson, Just Say Yes. Well, lots more news and views for our people, and those are, of course, the European founding settler people, the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European Heartland. Well, as you know, I'm something of a frequent reader and fan I'm maybe not a fan, a reader of the obituary page of the Globe and Mail, usually the Globe and Mail. Now, this is usually a feature obituary. No, I don't go scouring through to see if there's anybody I know who might have died. It's not quite that morbid, but I'm always looking to see what people the lives of people who have recently passed away, and sometimes they're quite interesting, and so I was quite intrigued a couple of days ago to read in the Globe and Mail an obituary to a Chinaman named Jim Wong Chu. Not being too funny about it, but it sounds as though he had a denture problem. That's Jim Wong Chu. Kind of interesting. It turns out he's Jim Wong Chu was a so-called community activist, editor, poet, died at age 68, quite recently. Much of this is I would say no particular interest to us, but some of it is. Anyway, at the very beginning of the Globe and Mail's obituary to him on Monday of this week, July 31st, we read the following. Jim Wong Chu arrived in Canada from Hong Kong at the age of 4 as a paper son with falsified documents. 3 years later, he would learn that the woman he thought was his mother was in fact his aunt. He was raised by relatives, moving frequently as a child. Before arriving as a young man in Vancouver, he worked a series of blue-collar jobs and he became a seminal figure in the Vancouver literary scene. He ended up creating and editing a publication called Rice Paper, which is for Chinese poets and writers, and he would interview a lot of people in Chinatown, and especially old-timers, and recorded some of their stories. Okay. As I say, much of this is not of any particular interest, but what is interesting to me is he came to Canada illegally, and this was widespread even back in the 1950s, and he's called a paper son. See, what happened is a Chinaman would emigrate to Canada, and he would be asked by the immigration authorities in Hong Kong, well, how many children do you have? And this is where the crafty buggers would say, well, I have 8. Oh, I see, okay. Well, I'm going to go to Canada first, and then I will bring them over later. So that actually created a paper opportunity. And so what they could do is then go to relatives or other people and say, well, look, I supposedly have 8 children. I actually have only 2, but so there are 6 spaces. We've got a space for 6 more people. So if you'd like to pay me a certain amount of money, I will sell you a space so you can send over your kid, who we will suddenly we'll suddenly say is my son or daughter, usually in exchange for a sum of money. A scam. And with all the boo-hoo-hoo that we hear so much about all the poor Chinese, all the racism, and so on and so on, they were scamming from the get-go. Yeah. So I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for that. Anyway, the person who died, this Jim Wong Chu, we're told was born in Hong Kong on January 20th, 1949. Jim Wong Chu was brought to Canada by an aunt who had lost a son about his age. Racial restrictions on which Canadian immigration policy was based barred his biological family from uniting with him in his adopted land for many years. Well, yeah, I mean, they didn't want to be flooded by Chinese or really by anybody else. Anyway, in his work in Chinatown, he was a waiter, but he was listening to all the stories of some of the old people. As a community volunteer in the 1970s, Mr. Wong Chu heard many stories from Chinatown old-timers about the Chinese head tax and some subsequent Chinese Exclusion Act, which banned all but a handful of immigrants and was only repealed in 1947. So it actually lasted 24 years, from 1923 to 1947. Well, the West Coast did not want to be inundated. In those days, we still had patriotic leaders who had the quaint idea that they ought to preserve the European founding settler people majority. This is not a shameful thing, but a righteous thing. Anyway, he helped publicize the boo-hoo-hoo stories of those who paid the Chinese head tax. The few remaining survivors, even in the 1970s, the person would have to have immigrated in 1923 or before. So let's say they're 20 in 1923. That would still be by 1970 would mean that they would be in their late 50s and probably older. But anyway, the boo-hoo-hoo story was this, that this horrible Canadian government beginning in 1885 had imposed a head tax on Chinese. Well, that's true, they did. At the request of many Chinese community leaders, and this is how it went. Up until 1885, some Chinese had been recruited to come to Canada to help build the railway. They didn't build the railway, but they were among the laborers who assisted in it. The way the current politically correct nonsense is, they built it, all single-handedly. No white man did a thing. Anyway, so the boo-hoo-hoo story is that their usefulness had ended, Canada didn't want any more. They wanted a head tax. Well, a head tax was imposed because many of these people were starving. Some did start businesses and find other employment, but there just weren't jobs to be had. And so the Dominion government, in response to this situation, said, well, you won't come to Canada unless you pay a fee to get in. In other words, you better know that you've got job prospects. Because you see, what was happening was Chinese were brought to Canada by greedy labor brokers. The CPR, Canadian Pacific Railway, didn't tour around South China, Guangdong province, and put up signs in Chinese and English asking people, do you want to come and work in Canada? No, they relied on labor brokers. And these labor brokers were Chinese and were ruthless and unscrupulous. They would get a portion of the poor coolies' wages and often didn't care. Well, what the head tax did was it imposed a restriction that they would have to have a pretty good belief that they could get a decent job so they could pay the labor brokers' extortion and survive. And so the head tax was a way to kind of ensure that. Well, the interesting thing for all the, this was racism, and the usual boo-hoo-hoo objections is the following. They paid it. Thousands of Chinamen paid it. Why? Why would you do that if this was a desperate insult to you? This was horrible racism. Why? Because you thought it was in your own best interest. That is the very tricky thing about rewriting history. And these are questions that ought to be asked. Look, if you perceived it as so bad, why did you pay it? Now, of course, as times changed and there was a larger Chinese community, and leaders saw the weakness, the moral weakness of guilt-ridden Canadian elite made virtually mad by the religion of guilt called the new religion of Holocaust, They saw an opportunity. Hey, these idiots will fall for anything. Tell them they're racist. Oh my gosh, they'll cringe. They'll tremble. They'll tear their hair out and say, "What can we do? What can we do to show we're not racist?" Well, big apology and lay some money on us. Oh, okay, we'll do that. We were racist. Well, actually, we weren't racist. Our ancestors were racist. And so, and it did all these terrible things to you. Boo, hoo, hoo, and how bad we are. Well, we should never apologize. You know, the proof of the pudding is this. They came. You know, if somebody had said, we won't let you come into Canada unless you cut off your right hand. Most people say, well, no, that's degrading, humiliating, and terrible. I won't cut off my right hand. I won't come to Canada. But these people were quite prepared to say, well, yeah, okay, well, all right, it's the cost of doing business. In the Orient, people are used to paying somebody off. And this was put to them, this was the price of doing business. If you thought it was a good deal for you, then this is the price of getting into Canada. And that was always the way, is that if this is not a good deal for you, well, then, of course, don't pay it. By all means, don't pay it. Don't come to Canada. Nobody was obliging these people to come to Canada. Anyway, as I say, I like these reading these obituaries because you very often get little nuggets, see a little piece of history that you might not have quite seen before or grasped before. And I think it's exceedingly important that we keep a hold of truth and reality about our history. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern Time. The show is repeated at 8 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon. All of those are Eastern Standard Time. I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. Not sure why the sound is so low. We'll give this a try again. We've had some trouble with this machine. Not quite sure why the sound is almost impossibly low on the Maple Leaf Forever. But we'll give the old college try here. Okay, looks as though we're not going to get. Well, this is Paul Fromm. Back with you tomorrow. Here on White Resistance Radio on the fighting side.